Take your Bibles this afternoon. Turn to Mark chapter 2, the gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading there at verse number 1. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1, where the Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." Don't you like that? It was noised that he was in the house. I'll tell you what, it's good when it's noise that Jesus is at Homestead Baptist Church.
Amen.
It's a good thing to know that Jesus meets with us. The Bible says he walks in the midst of his churches. Amen. He does it in this day and in this age. And verse number 2, "And straightway many were gathered together, inasmuch as there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door." Now notice this, "And he preached the word unto them." What are we to preach? Well, we preach the word. That's it. We preach the word. If Jesus preached the word, I'll guarantee you we ought to be preaching the word. So we preach the word. "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy," and notice this, which was born of four. So here we've got stretcher bearers. Stretcher bearers. Our message today is going to be the need for stretcher bearers.
Amen.
The need for stretcher bearers. Verse number 4. "And when they could not come nigh unto him," that's nigh unto Jesus, "for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was," where Jesus was, "and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Now we have a miracle working God, and we're going to see a miracle that takes place here. God is able to do as he pleases when he pleases, for he is God. You know, as Christians, we could sing the old song, "Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing in Jesus the Son." He has done great things. And dear friends, yes, when he saved us, it was like resurrecting a dead man.
Amen.
A dead man. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And it took a miracle.
Amen.
To put the stars in space. But it took a miracle when he saved my soul.
Amen.
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 I guarantee you, it took a miracle to do that very thing. Now in the Bible, we read that Jesus had made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the dead were raised. What a wonderful thing. And he's able to calm our soul in a time of a storm. Amen?
Right.
He can either take the storm away or he can just calm us in the midst of the storm.
Right.
Everybody's going to have storms in life. You're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or heading into a storm. That's life. You're going to have them. I'll tell you, I don't like them. But without the rain, you don't have a crop. If you don't have a storm, the other night coming back from Madisonville, we saw the old thunderheads and saw it lightning up in the clouds. You know what that means? It's going to rain somewhere most of the time. And you got to have rain to have a crop. And so we have to go through some storms in life. If you got everything the way you wanted all the time, you'd be a spoiled brat.
Right.
Amen? So what does the Lord do? He has to deal with us. So we'll depend on him, and he does that. He does. Now, the miracle we're going to look at this afternoon deals with the authority of Jesus to forgive sins and his ability, his power, to heal those that are afflicted. Now, he's able to do that. Now, I happen to be a person that believes that God can heal the sick.
Amen.
I believe that we ought to pray for the sick. I believe in prayer. And I believe that we ought to pray believing. I've seen
Amen.
God do it too many times.
Amen.
I've watched God. I've seen it happen where God would heal us a person who was sick. But then I've seen him heal a sin-sick soul.
Amen.
We're going to see both things happen here. We're going to see the healing of the body and then the healing of the soul. And let me tell you something, the only one that can heal you spiritually is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You cannot get to heaven in any other way. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It must be that way, for there is no other way. Now, there are three elements that I want us to look at in this miracle that we're going to see. First of all, we see the burden of the four men. The burden of the four men. Now, I'm not so much talking about the fact of them carrying their friend to Jesus, although that was a burden. They had to be willing to do it. But I'm talking about the burden of their heart, the burden of their soul to be a blessing to their brother, their friend. And then we're going to see the breaking up of the roof. I mean, the roof's going to be broke up. And then we're going to see a bed that is no longer occupied, the bed that is empty. Now, we notice first of all, and we've already read the first verses here of Mark chapter 2, we see these men had a burden. They were willing to carry their friend to where Jesus was. Now, a lot of times I've heard people say, well, I don't know if carrying him to church is enough. Well, it could be. It could be if you carry him to church and they hear Jesus speak from the Word. Amen? Amen. You know what I look at preaching as being? It's helped me. I know I'm not a great preacher. I understand that. But I know that I'm called to preach. So I just go and do the best I can. Amen. But you know what happens while I'm preaching? The Lord takes the water of the Word and turns it into wine.
Amen.
That's what He does. He makes the water into wine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say, boy, I didn't see that. Well, He turned water into wine. God refreshed me. Well, He turned the water into wine. And the wine, that's what happens. Now, there has to be a burden. Psalm 125, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, is that for us today?
Yes.
I think one of the reasons why we don't see more happen is because we don't weep like we ought to weep. We don't cry like we ought to cry. We're not concerned like we ought to be concerned.
Amen.
So we need to have a burden. I think about Philip. He had a burden for Nathanael. So what did he do? He sought him out. He sought him out. In John 1 and verses 45 and 46, let me read it for you. And Nathanael said unto him, come, and see, he says, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. John 1, 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. But what did Nathanael say? Come see a man. Come and see. Well, what? Well, actually, the woman at the well, remember?
Right.
She said, come see a man. Amen. She did. She did. So she had a burden for others to come to the Lord. Now, there's some things we don't know about these men. I don't know all about them. Don't know much about them. As far as I know, this is about it. Amen. This is about it. I don't know their names. I know preachers have given them names. I mean, you got these four stretcher bearers. Well, here's faith, hope, charity, grace, whatever. You can put whoever you want to at the handles. You can let whoever you want to carry the thing. You know, you can spiritualize it. But the truth is, we don't know their names. We don't know how long they had been saved. We don't know that. And again, like the woman at the well, she hadn't been saved long before she went and said, come see a man. And she brought them to Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
We can do that. There are some things that we do know about these men. We do know that they had a concern for their friend. They cared enough to bring him to Jesus. Jude 22 and 23 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Now, I think that we ought to be that concerned about our neighbor. That concerned about our friend. I know the Lord does a saving. I'm trusting in Him for that. But dear friend, I'm going to go and pull. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. We also know that these men were convinced that the Lord Jesus could do whatever their friend needed to be done for him.
Amen.
They believed that. We're reminded of Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, these men were burdened to go. I believe we don't go like we ought to because we're not burdened to go. We need to pray the Lord would give us a burden, that we would have a burden. Well, one thing I like about this church, I'll leave you tracks everywhere you go. I found that out. I'm talking about paper tracks. You leave them out. I've watched some of you, and you know tracks are a good thing. They're folks that are saved because it sparks an interest. God uses that. Sister Alice June Rogers, one of our most precious friends, veteran missionaries to Chile, in their 80s now, she was saved as a young woman by reading a gospel tract. God took the word and used that. She'd heard the gospel preached, but God used that to hammer it in. So don't ever think that you're just wasting your time. No, no, no. Leave your tracks. Amen. Leave your tracks. A good thing for you to do. So these men had a burden to go. They did. Now, by not going into the world with the gospel, we neglect the command of God. What did he say to do? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to the elect. It didn't say that? I thought it did, Mark. I'm sorry. No, it said preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what I'm going to do. Because he said to do it. I want every creature to hear it. Every one of them to hear it. And I believe every believer is a missionary. Every one of us. And we're an ambassador. We're an ambassador. Now, I want to go over and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. I want to look at that. If you've got time to turn there, do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 18. I want you to notice with me here. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now, to reconcile somebody, you got to get them back together. That's what you do. Well, they were reconciled. They're back together. Well, we were separated from God. And we were brought back to him by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? We've been reconciled. We were away from him. And now we have peace. But then notice, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled. Now we've got a ministry. And what is our ministry? It's the ministry of katalage, which is reconciliation. It means a restoration of favor with God through the payment of blood. We have a ministry to preach the blood of Jesus, to preach his death, his burial, his resurrection. We have that. Verse number 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, which we have noticed here in verse 18, but now I want to look at a word in verse 19, which is the word committed. The word tithemi, we've had something committed to us. The word committed there means to place, to put, or to lay down on. You know what's happened? He's laid that on us. That's been laid on you. That's been laid on me. We have today a commitment. We have a commitment because it's been given to us. It has been given to us. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador speaks for his country in a foreign country. So we're in a foreign country if we're ambassadors. And we can truly sing with the old songwriter, and I don't know if Albert E. Brumley wrote it or not. He wrote a lot of good ones. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I guarantee you, if it's Albert that wrote it, we feel less at home than he did with everything's going on around us today. Amen. But what do we have here? We have an ambassadorship. As though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. Now the word beseech there means to come alongside and beg and entreat. We're to come alongside and encourage people, beg them, and I mean pray over them and care about them. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're to do. And what is our message? Verse 21, for he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our message is that God made Jesus to be sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be righteous through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What a message. Now, we go back there to Mark chapter 2, and I want us to see the breaking up of that roof there. Mark chapter 2 and verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, how do you break up the roof? Well, most of us have a roof, got some type of a, you know, gable to it or whatever, you know. Well, these roofs are flat. And over there in Israel, what they did in those days is they'd taken, and when they built their houses, built them out of rock, built them out of, you know, of the stone and that, and then they would fix places in the building of it where they could put, not trusses, but big pieces of timber along there, where they could lay thatch on that, and then they would take and put dirt on that and wet it down a little bit and then put a roller on it and roll it. Now, can you imagine Jesus is preaching in the house and they're breaking up the roof? What's coming down? Thatch, dirt, dust. But you know what? They were at a point where they were willing to do whatever it took to get this man to Jesus. They were facing the obstacles. Had a professor in college, Denver Smith. He couldn't say obstacle. He said obstacles. And he said, well, you've got to overcome the obstacles in life. Well, they had some obstacles to get by. And they did it. And how did they do it? I'll tell you how they did it. They looked up. They came and said, how are we going to get this done? What are we going to do? And then they looked up. Well, we'll go through the roof. We'll do it that way. You know what? People that are always looking down, what do they get out of life? $5.37 that they've picked up. Oh, my. You know, there are two types of Christians in the world. There are turkeys and there are eagles. There are turkeys and there are eagles. Now, what's a turkey Christian do? Well, he, you know, pokes around, eats acorns and that. And then when he does get a little bit of life in him, he flies how far? Ever watch a turkey fly? That's not really the prettiest sight in all the world. Gets about two limbs up, is that right? And people just poke around, things aren't good, and I don't like it there, and this, that, and the other, and all that kind of stuff. But what does an eagle do? He soars. He gets up above all the things of the world. Old crow comes along, you know, caw, caw, caw. And he says, forget it, crow. He puts her in afterburner. He gone. Boudreaux told me this. He said, you know what? You don't see no dead crows along the highway. Now, that's true, isn't it? You know why? Them other crows are flying around saying, caw, caw, caw. So they warn each other about the cars coming. They never get hit. Oh, they're a mess. I'm telling you, it's something else. But they were willing to pay the price. They looked up and they were willing to pay the price. I mean, that's what you have to do. And there's an old song says, win the lost at any cost. And the words say this, as we look around us, all the fields are white, ripened unto harvest, and so swiftly comes the night. Christians must get busy. There is work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them. Help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. Go out and win. Rescue from sin. Day's almost gone. Low sinks the sun. Souls are crying. Men are dying. Win the lost at any cost. We come now to verse 5 of Mark chapter 2. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He saw their faith, not the faith of one, not the faith of two, not the faith of three, not the faith of four. He saw their faith, includes all five. Isn't that good? Because he could not have said to the man sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, why didn't he say that to the other four? Because theirs had already been forgiven. They were bringing this man to Jesus. They already had trusted him, you see. That's what happened. That's what's going on. And he saw their faith. Now, the word for faith here is pistis, and it means conviction of truth with holy fervor joined to it. I mean, he had faith, but they had fervor to get their friend to Jesus. How far they carried him, we don't know. But they got him there because they had a holy fervor to do it. They did that. Now, they worked together. Amen. They worked together. You know if that's what we do in Independent Baptist Missions? We work together, don't we? What I'm doing is called deputation. Deputation. Some people, instead of calling us missionaries, they call us moochinaries. Well, that's not what we are. We're not mooching. But some people look at it that way. But I want to tell you something about a deputy. You know what deputation is? Whenever Marshall Dillon needed to get a posse together to get something done, go after somebody, he couldn't do it himself by himself, so, well, he was pretty good at it, but I like him. But what would he do? He'd get a group of those men together and he'd deputize them, put a badge on them. Is that right? Well, that's what churches do. You go on deputation and some will deputize you to go in their stead. And that's what happens. If a church supports me, I become their deputy. That's what it is. And God uses that. And what a blessing it is because we're laborers together. We're laborers together in all of these things. That's Independent Baptist Missions. We work together for the cause of Christ. Verse number 5. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Now listen, there's always somebody sitting there and they're not listening to the message. They're reasoning in their heart. I call them gourd heads. I mean, you know, they rattle around and everything else. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies. Verse 7. Who can forgive sins but God only? Now I want you to notice something. He didn't heal him of his palsy first. He healed him of his sin.
Amen.
Amen. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Why are you thinking that? Why are you saying that? I believe they got away where he couldn't hear them, but he heard them because he knows everything. Amen. Now notice verse 9. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now, Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. He was going to forgive him. They were going to rattle their gourd heads. And he was going to illustrate his power. Amen?
Amen.
It's exactly what happens here. It is. Now I want you to notice he said, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose. Wasn't a bunch of steps he had to go through. No, he took his bed. He went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this wise. Now, when I was saved, there are those who were amazed. They were amazed. I've often said, and I think they did, they took bets to see how long I'd last. I mean, you know, God can do as he pleases, and he took this old boy, and he saved me. And I'm thankful for it. Had a lot of baggage, they call it. But Jesus told him to go to his friends. Well, it reminds me of a fella who was a maniac.
Right.
He was a maniac. And he said, look, Jesus, just let me be a camp follower. I just want to go with you. I want to just stay close to you. I don't want to get away from you. And that's a good thing, but I want you to go to Mark 5:19 real quick.
Right.
Mark 5:19. Now this man was delivered, he was saved, now read verse 18, you get the picture, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil, and had been, he's not then, he's delivered, prayed him that he might be with him, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, wouldn't allow it, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. I'm wondering this afternoon who might be waiting for you to bring them to Jesus. You see, these four men were stretcher bearers. They brought him to Jesus. There may be somebody out there that God knows all about it. He wants you to be that one to be used. Listen, every one of us here who are saved because somebody cared enough about us.
Amen.
To either preach the word or give us the word or tell us the word or cared enough to have a church or cared enough to leave a track or cared enough to preach the word by way of radio or whatever it was. Amen. What do we need? We need stretcher bearers. Will you be a stretcher bearer?